Welcome to the Hope Elim Podcast.
We are a diverse church in the heart of Des Moines, seeking to bring God's kingdom as we live more like Jesus.
We hope that what you're about to hear points you to Jesus Christ. Know that we're praying for you and look forward to connecting with you soon.
We have had a very, very special day around here. Lots of baptisms. We had baptism at our earlier service as well. Can we give God praise for the Kineski family one more time? Absolutely. Man, what a special day to celebrate baptism. God's just good like that, that he knows what a gift that is here on this Mother's Day. So once again, happy Mother's Day. Special welcome to all the moms out there as well. I know that we've said that about 17 times so far this morning because, guys, we're trying to help you out. This is your final warning, okay? If you're sitting here going, and somehow that slipped your mind, this is your final opportunity for gift or plans today. But I want to say right off the bat that we, as a church and as a staff, had different plans here today. As of about less than 24 hours ago, our dear friend, Minister Bonnie, was scheduled to give the message today, and she has a powerful message that I'm sure God's laid on her heart, and she will give that for you at some point. But she is really, really sick, and so she is unable to be here, and she just hates that today. And so I'm going to do the very best that I can to fill Minister Bonnie's shoes figuratively, but I will never be able to do that literally, okay? Because here's the thing, if anybody has a stronger shoe game than me, it is Minister Bonnie, okay? So I am not even going to attempt to fill her shoes in that way, but Bonnie, this is for you. Get well, sister. We love you, okay? We're gonna stomp on the devil this morning for Minister Bonnie and know that we love you, Bonnie, and we are praying for you. And one of the things that I love about this church is that we have so many gifted teachers and preachers, and it is an honor to share God's word whenever we have the opportunity to do that. So be sure to pray for Bonnie that she would get better and get back to health and doing what she does really, really soon. But we are so glad that you are here and that you've chosen to be here on this special day, a day of joy and encouragement and blessing and celebration, a day that we want to lift up all women. And I just want to say that one more time, because sometimes Mother's Day can get very, very focused on those of you that happen to be moms. But unintentionally, or very, very intentionally, at Hope Elim, we want to celebrate all women. And I just want to say this, ladies, if you don't hear anything else I say, know this, that today you are not defined by your relationship status. You are not defined by your parenting status, whether you have children or not. You are not defined by your past. You are not defined by what other people's opinions are or what the world says of you. You are defined by who God says you are, and that is a daughter of the King. Amen? That is who you are. So I want you to know that today, to believe that and to receive that. You are his daughter. You are his masterpiece. And yet I also want to acknowledge this as well before we get much deeper. For some of you, this is a great day. For some of you, it is a hard day. It's a day that you necessarily don't look forward to. And maybe some of you are worshiping online because it's hard to come and be in a church because there's hurt there. There's pain from the relationship that you had or have with your mom. I want to acknowledge that we are well aware that there are moms that are listening to this message right now that have had the pain and the heartache of losing a child. There are those of you here today that have lost your mom. There are those of you that would love to be moms, but for whatever reason, you're unable to, and that is a source of deep pain and hurt for you. There are those of you that are here today that have really, really difficult relationships with your mom, that there's tension there, there's pain there, and we acknowledge that. And so I just want to say this, if we haven't said it before, man, Hope Elim is a place where it is okay to not be okay. And I want you to know this morning, ladies, that God sees you, he knows you, we see you, you matter, and you belong to him. And of all the places that you could be today, you chose the right place to start your Mother's Day, in God's house, because whatever you need, He's got. Amen? Whatever you need, He's got. And whether that's, for some of you, you just need some encouragement today, you need a blessing, you need forgiveness, you need grace, you need rest, whatever you need, He's got for you here today. And I also think it's important on maybe a tough day like this for some of you, that we let the joy of the Lord be our strength, that it comes from a deeper place. It doesn't have to just come from, hey, it's Mother's Day, and I'm going to put on a happy smile. You don't have to do that, ladies and gentlemen. It can actually come from a place that's much, much deeper. We're going to let the joy of the Lord be our strength this morning. Amen? And with that, it is also very important that we laugh a little bit. Does anybody like to laugh? Okay, 7 of you, that's great. We're gonna work on that. If you don't like to laugh, you came to the wrong church. I'm gonna tell you that right now. It is scientifically proven that laughter adds years to your life. So just consider that a gift from Hope Elam to you as well. But I just wanted to share this with you today. Maybe you've heard this before, but there was a bunch of elementary school kids about ranging from 2nd to 4th grade that were interviewed, and the title of this is Why God Made Moms. And so they answered various questions. I cut out the other ones, and this is just the top answer. So for instance, question, they pulled a bunch of kids, why did God make mothers? One little girl answered, she's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. That's very important, okay? Another little boy, why did God make mothers? To help us out of them when we were getting born. Couldn't have done it without you, Mom. Thanks for that whole giving birth thing. That was a nice little boost. All right. Next question, what kind of little girl was your mom? Little girl answers, I don't know because I wasn't there, but my guess would be pretty bossy. So, just reading what they gave me here. So, next question, how did God make mothers? Little boy said, He used dirt, just like the rest of us. It's actually kind of biblically accurate there, right? How did God make moms? Another girl says, magic plus superpowers and a lot of stirring. That's how He made moms. Here's a fun one. What did mom need to know about dad before she married him? Number one, his last name. It's important. Number two, she had to know his background. Like, is he a crook or something? It's important. Number three, most importantly, does he make at least $800 a year? Does he say no to drugs and yes to chores? Amen to that, right? Next question, why did God give you your, this is a deep question, why did God give you your mother and not some other mom? Duh, we're related. My mom. Okay. Last question, this is a fun one, what's the difference between moms and dads? First of all, first answer, dads are usually taller and more hairy, but moms have all the real power because that's who you got to ask if you want to sleep over at your friend's house. That's it's okay with my mom if it's okay with your mom, right? And last but not least, what's the difference between moms and dads? Moms have magic because they make you feel better even without medicine. Amen? That is very, very true, right? There is something about the heart of a mom, and we know this. You can't always put your finger on it, but you know it when you feel it. There is something about the heart of a mom that reflects to us the character and nature of God. And all throughout Scripture, yes, God is absolutely referred to as our Heavenly Father. And this doesn't take away from that. But if you look a little bit deeper, you'll see over and over and over again, God's heart reflected as the heart of a mother. And there are unique things, ladies, that you bring to our lives, to the kingdom, and to this church. And so every single woman is needed and valuable in God's kingdom, and we love you, and we love that you are a part of this church family. Amen? So I just want you to know that, okay? Now, here's the thing. As amazing as moms are, they are not perfect, believe it or not. It's hard to believe, and they wrestle with a lot of the same struggles that a lot of us do, and one of those is rest. In fact, there was another poll that was done of about 5,000 moms, and this is maybe not your responses, but this is the summary of the panel, the poll that went out to over 5,000 moms. What would be the most helpful gift for Mother's Day? What do you really want? I can be done with my sermon. That was pretty easy, right? Here's in no particular, well, number 5, top 5, sweets. Number 4, flowers. Number three, a thoughtful gift or a homemade gift. Number two, time with family. And can you guess the number one answer? Sleep, right? Absolutely. The whole row of moms at the first service just yelled out, time alone. Get away from me. I love you so much, but some time to myself. Sleep, right? Ladies, could anybody use a nap today? Just anybody, a few of us, right? Could anybody in the house today or online, could anybody use some more rest today? Raise your hand if you could use some more rest. I think all of us could use some more rest. And I don't think it's just physical. It's also emotional rest. It's mental rest. Some of us have mental or emotional exhaustion. It can be spiritual rest for our souls. A lot of us can't remember the last time that we felt a deep connection to God. And I think it's important to talk about this on a day like this. I can't remember the last time that I walked up to somebody and said, hey, how are you doing? And their response right away was, I got 12 hours of sleep last night, and I am so rested and refreshed, right? You never hear that anymore. And we laugh at it because we know that that's not the reality of our lives. And so today, as we are kind of on the brink of summer and just a moment to catch our breath, and maybe today is an opportunity to offer moms and to all of us the greatest gift that you could ever receive, and that is to find rest for your soul. Because of all the things that I could have preached about today and the top 10 list of how to be a better mom and the things you need to do better and better, 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 you don't need more moms. We don't need more weighing us down. We need an invitation to something that's much deeper than what a nap can accomplish or even a week's vacation, a sabbatical, a time away, whatever it is. There is something deeper and richer that Jesus wants to offer all of us, and it's way more than a band-aid for the pains and the ills and the exhaustion that we have. It is rest for your soul. God speaks this promise to all of us in the prophet Jeremiah. Let's read it together. Jeremiah chapter 6, let's read it together. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. So there's some good news and some bad news. Which one do you want first? Doesn't matter. I'll start with the good news. Here's the good news. There is a sustainable path forward. God, through the prophet Jeremiah, says there is a way of living. There is a rhythm to your life. There is a pathway forward that if you would walk in that path and follow my ways and follow my rhythms, that you will not be completely overwhelmed and exhausted all the time, mentally, physically, and on a spiritual level. There is a pathway forward for your soul. Now, the bad news is this. We will not walk in it. People back then and all of us today, we reject that. We think we know better. We think that we're more developed and more contemporary and modern than that. And we have our own technological devices and tips and techniques. And God says, maybe it's not the next latest and greatest thing. Maybe it's going back and asking for the ancient paths, the tried and true solutions to an exhausted society that none of us are immune to, and you will find rest for your soul. When I look around us, and I'm pointing the finger at myself as I fall prey to this as well, normally when I'm preaching a sermon, it's because it's something that I need to hear, and if a few others of you get something from it, great. But this is the world that I live in, and I don't know about you, but there's two common characteristics I see in the madness of the world around me. Number one is our pace of life. And I don't have to convince you of this. You feel this. You know this. And it works its way and it grains itself even into our everyday conversations and we don't even know it. How often have you walked up to somebody and said, hey, you know, just making casual conversation. How's it going? Oh, great. Yeah, keeping busy. Oh, yeah, good. Do you realize what you just said? We are assuming that busy is normative and good. Sometimes, I've never done this, but sometimes just for the fun of it, somebody's going, hey, Pastor John, how's it going? Oh, good, keeping busy. I'm just going to go, nope, and just see what their reaction is. Just really create an awkward interaction. Actually, no, I'm not. I actually have a sustainable rhythm to my life, and I get, you know, 8 to 9 hours of sleep at night. I'm eating healthy. I'm exercising. I'm really well connected with God, and I am refreshed in my soul. How are you doing? And we laugh because that's not normative. We know that's the opposite of what we experience. I cannot tell you how often I'm checking in with people and meeting with them and seeing how it's going. And I hear from people so often, oh, I'm just in a really busy season right now. And this isn't a great season for me to do this or that or to bring my kids to church or to get our family serious about faith or to slow down a little bit or to set up boundaries or to invest in my marriage or whatever it is. It's not a great season for me right now. And can I just say this? If your busy season has no ending, it's not a season, it's your life. Just kind of sit with that one for a second. That kind of stung when I thought about it earlier. Secondly, we are bombarded not just with a pace of life, but with information and interruptions. We long to unplug, but we feel the constant need to stay connected. I was working in my office the other day. I'm pointing the finger at myself, and I don't know if this is anybody else, that I'm trying to work on some things on my computer from one device, but yet I have my phone right next to me, and literally every 2 to 3 minutes I had to check it. My leg's tapping. I'm distressed. Does anybody else feel this? When's the last time you sat down and read a book? I don't know. I can't remember. Maybe for some of you, you're bookworms, and that's awesome. I have a struggle with that of constant interruptions. Researchers say this, that you and I consume as much information in a day in our smart devices that would crash the hard drive of a laptop. And I'm not anti-technology. I love my computers, I love my phones, but I know this. My soul and your soul were not designed to move at the pace of a smartphone. We were not created for that. We are more connected than ever, but that also allows us to compare more than ever. And maybe you've heard this quote before. It's a pretty famous quote. There's a lot of people that it's attributed to. You've heard that comparison is the thief of joy, but did you realize that comparison is also a culprit for exhaustion? Some of you are like, I'm eating healthy, I'm exercising, I'm getting enough sleep, I got a great family, I got a great job. Why am I overwhelmed and exhausted all the time? Because you were never meant to live life constantly trying to measure up. God created us in a way to know who we are, that we don't have to run around looking for validation and affection and love everywhere we can find it, because that's exhausting. Comparison is the thief of joy, but it's also a culprit for exhaustion. And I will be completely honest with you, two of the things that I hear most often in all counseling and meeting with people and connecting with people all over, two things. I am tired, exhausted, busy, overwhelmed, stressed. Some combination of those. And number two, I long to have a deeper connection to God. Those are the top two by far. And it is no coincidence at all. They are related. Our frenzied life is doing damage to our souls. It's not just a spiritual problem. It's a physical, emotional, and mental problem as well. It cuts us off from experiencing the life of Jesus, and that's why I affectionately have titled this sermon, Rebellious Rest. Anybody feel like being a rebel out there today? Any rebellious feeling people? Okay, three of you. Awesome. Thank you. Awesome. And here's why I say that. Because what we're going to talk about today, Jesus' invitation to rest is so countercultural. It's so different from the message that the world sends to us that you're going to feel rebellious when it's actually just healthy. And we have gotten to a place in our world where rebellious is actually healthy when it comes to the pace of our lives. Rebellious rest. And so into our frenzied, busied, overwhelmed, hyper-stimulated world steps Jesus. And in our reading today, you heard this. Imagine Jesus walking in the room today, moms, ladies, everybody looking you in the eyes. Your laundry list of to-do items, things that are stressing you out, things waiting for you at work tomorrow morning, and looking you in the eyes and saying, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find what? Rest. Just a little Band-Aid solution, just a power nap. The offer of Jesus is rest for your souls. easy, light. That sounds like something that we need. And if we are going to discover the best way to care for our minds, our bodies, our souls, would it make sense to ask the God who created them, who created you? And that's where we're going to start, at creation, at the beginning. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. We're going to hop around a little bit today. If you want to follow along with me, you can. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. We read this. Then God blessed the seventh day. So God creates the whole world. Then he blessed the seventh day and he made it what? Holy, literally means set apart, different than all the others. Because on it, what did he do? Rested from all the work of creating that he had done. It is incredibly prideful and arrogant for any one of us to say, this message doesn't apply to me. Why? Because the God that created the universe took a nap. He rested. When there was a storm on the boat with the disciples, what was Jesus doing in the bottom of the boat? Taking a nap. And if Jesus can rest, you can too. Amen? It is a holy thing to do. For us to say that, no, I'm way too much of an important person. I can't take a day off. That's fine for God. He's God, but man, am I important. How ridiculous does that sound, even coming out of my mouth, right? God rested. God rested. In the very beginning of creation, God sets up this rhythm of work and rest. God is working and then resting. It's almost like this pendulum, and on one side, there's rest. It starts here, and the pendulum swings this way to work. Because Jesus is fully God, he picks up on this in John chapter 15, verse 5. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you will bear much fruit if you stay connected to me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Abide in me, Jesus says, and you will bear much fruit. So Jesus parallels what God is saying here at the beginning of creation. God is setting up a rhythm, a healthy rhythm to our lives. Why does this matter? You go back one chapter to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. God creates Adam and Eve. He gives them a job to do. Care for the birds of the sky, fish of the sea, the animals that run along the earth. He puts them in charge of the earth. He gives them a job on day 6. And on day 7, they show up, and what does God say to them? PTO, baby. Can you imagine getting a job and you show up for your first day of work and they say, have a free day? Right? Remember when you were growing up as a kid and you'd look at the ticker on the bottom of the screen? We called the bank. I don't know why. That was weird. Being in a small town, if you didn't have school, and they would say, no school. Snow day. God says, you get a snow day every week. Rest. It's a Sabbath. It's a gift from him. I don't know about you, but so often I thought as rest as a reward for burning myself out. I know, a little twisted, huh? But maybe I'm not the only one. We think of rest as go, 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 crash, recover. But God created the world in the fabric of creation. He built a healthy rhythm, not to rest from our work, but to work out of the overflow and abundance of our rest. And you might say, oh, it's just semantics. It's a game changer. We're starting from a place of abiding. If God rested, then we can as well. So how do we do that? How do we work out of the overflow and the abundance of our rest? We abide. We do what Jesus did. We live out this rhythm daily, back and forth as that pendulum swings, weekly and annually. And we're going to take one of those at a time. What do those rhythms look like in our lives? First of all, daily. And here's an easy way to remember it, is we are called to divert daily, to withdraw weekly, and to abandon annually. It's not a math problem. There's nothing magic to it. It's just an easy way to remember that this rhythm is called to exist in our lives. And what does that look like for you? I'm giving you some tools for your resting tool belt today that you can take home and talk about these things on the car ride home today. Talk about them this week and say, how are we going to implant these rhythms into our lives? First of all, daily. Divert daily. Why should we do this every single day? Why should we divert our attention from whatever we're focused on and turn towards God in word and prayer and simply being still? Why should we do that? Jesus did. Jesus did. I love this passage from Luke chapter 5, verses 15 through 16. The news spread about him all the more. So the crowds of people came to hear him and be healed of their sicknesses. Jesus was a rock star. He was a celebrity. He had demands and people pulling on him literally and for his time. Jesus was busy. There was a lot going on in Jesus' life. And then verse 16, at the height and the peak of his popularity, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Why would you be so comfortable being alone? Because he knew that he wasn't. Because he was with his Father. Jesus had this rhythm down almost moment by moment. That there was not like, I went to church on Sunday and I heard a decent sermon and I got filled up and I feel really good and then by Wednesday afternoon I'm depleted. No, Jesus says that you can have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit living with you wherever you go and whatever circumstances you are in. And wherever Jesus went, peace followed him. The Prince of Peace. That's how he could have peace, because he had this abiding presence minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, because he spent so much time with the Father. Do you ever have those people in your life that when you're around them, you just feel... If you're having a hard time imagining that, go to the other extreme. Do you have any people in your life that when you're around them, you're just like, ah, right? Think of the polar opposite extreme of that, and that's Jesus. How do you experience peace in the middle of the storm? You abide with the one who is peace. And I just want to say this, because we love you, and as one of your pastors, our deepest desire for you is not to volunteer. Even though we ask you to do it all the time because it's really important. But our deepest desire for you is not to serve or to be busy for God. It is the dream of God and our hearts for you that every single person in this church would be very, very comfortable being with God and experiencing a rich, deep intimacy with him. Why is that the number one priority? Because out of that, everything else will flow. We will not need to stand on this stage one more Sunday and say, we need volunteers for this or people to help with this or whatever. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. You don't have to yell at an apple tree and convince it to produce apples. It just does. Amen? Yeah. Abide in me and you will bear much fruit. That's our desire for us as a church. And I wonder if most of our restlessness, our anxiety, our lack of peace is not because the storms are raging around us, but we haven't learned yet that we can abide and have peace right in the middle of the storm. A part of growing and maturing in our relationship with God is not waiting for the storm to pass for everything to be okay. And some of us are still waiting for that. Some of us are still waiting for that season and saying, when the kids are older, when it quiets down around here, when everybody can feed and clothe themselves, when they can take themselves to school, when they're off to college, when. And they're waiting for the storm to pass. And Jesus says, I never asked you to wait. You can experience the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit right in the middle of the storm. And ladies, I just want to say this, because it's Mother's Day and we're celebrating all the ladies today. What if the greatest gift that you could give yourself this year is to be present over perfect? It's a really good book out there by Shauna Nyquist about that, by the way. I didn't come up with that phrase. What if the greatest gift that you could receive on Mother's Day is not the 7 helpful tips to be a better mom? What if I could just point you to Jesus? Because he's awesome. I wonder if so much of the anxiety and the overwhelm that we feel is because we don't know how to sit with the Prince of Peace and abide in him, every single one of us. I mean, you remember the story of Mary and Martha, right? Man, does Martha get a bad rap in that story. I tell you what, be a Mary, don't be a Martha. And Martha's going over here. Well, the carpet wouldn't be clean and we wouldn't have dinner. And the kids wouldn't be fed and quiet in their rooms, and then Jesus shows up, it'd be a disaster around here. Jesus never condemned Martha. Jesus never said that work and responsibility is bad and wrong. He looked at Mary and Martha and said, in the midst of all your roles and responsibilities and to-do lists, don't miss the one thing that can nourish your soul. Be with me. So can we get rid of the don't be a Martha, be a Mary debate? And can we just say, for all of us, whether you feel like you're a Mary or a Martha, in the midst of your roles and responsibilities, be with Jesus. Practice the presence of God right where you are, whatever you are doing. Divert daily. There's a lot of different ways to do that. And as much as I loathe my smartphone and technology, there are some very helpful apps that allow us to do that. Maybe you've never heard of the Pause app from Wild at Heart Ministries. The Dwell app allows you to sit and meditate on Scripture. The YouVersion Bible app, I use it almost every single day. There's a verse of the day. It leads you through some prayerful meditation. There's some music. It reads Scripture to you. There's guided journaling activities. The whole thing can take 5 minutes if you want. And if you don't have 5 minutes to be with God, you're too busy. I'm too busy. As I point the finger at myself, what would it look like for you to engage in a regular rhythm of prayer and Scripture? So that's the daily rhythm. The weekly rhythm is to withdraw weekly. And maybe we're a little bit more familiar with this one because you've heard it talked about more, and it's more right there apparent in the Bible, and that is Sabbath. Everybody say Sabbath. Sabbath comes right out of Exodus 20 as God, speaking through Moses, says this to his people: remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have how many days? 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest, dedicated to the Lord your God. Not only are we created for rest, we are commanded to rest, not as some heavy burden for you, like, oh, here's another law that I need to keep. It is a gift that God wants to give us. Sabbath rest. And here's the thing, we have no problem paying attention to all the other commandments. Well, I think we could all agree it's good to not kill people, okay? Let's not murder, let's not commit adultery, let's not steal, let's not bear false witness against our neighbor. We have no problem with any of those. And then as church people, as people that are following Jesus, we read, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, and we go, oh, that's the one where when God gave it to Moses, he went, unless it's 2024, then they don't have to do it. No, it's actually the opposite. I think that we need that commandment more than ever. We need it more than ever. God says this 24 period of time is to be holy, to be set apart, to be different. And God says, no, maybe you're not murdering and stealing and committing adultery, but if you keep going 24/7, you are doing damage to your soul. And I care about you enough to give you this gift because I love you. Don't forget that God is giving these commandments to his people just as they came out of slavery in Egypt. And what were they doing in slavery in Egypt? They were working 24/7. They were slaves to productivity. And so as God gives this command to his people and to us, he's telling us this is actually how free people live. This is how people live that aren't slaves to productivity, that somehow think their value and worth is working 60 or 70 hours instead of 40 and just getting one more thing done. And I'm going to avoid my wife and kids at home because I want to get one more thing done. That somehow my productivity equals my value and my worth and even my identity. And I'm preaching that to myself too. There's so much more for you in that. So what makes a great Sabbath? When God says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, how do you actually do that? Four things that I want to highlight for you today. Stop, rest, delight, worship. It's not a math problem. It's not perfect. But four key ingredients, if you're baking the cake of a good Sabbath day, it starts with stop. Everybody say stop. Stop is a deliberate act of not doing what you normally do to remind us that our value and worth is not found in what we do. And so moms, I just want you to hear this again today. You are not what you do. You are not defined primarily by what you produce or don't produce or accomplish. You are not defined by the boxes that the world tries to put women and particularly mothers in. You are a warrior for the kingdom of God. And you are invited today, ladies, to be dangerous in a good way for the kingdom of God. Maybe nobody has ever invited you to that before, and I don't know what your church background or your denominational background is, but ladies, some of you heard, sit there, be quiet, let the men lead, do your thing. Maybe you could teach Sunday school. That might be the most important job in our church, is investing in our youth. You have what it takes, ladies, to lead, and there are women leading all over this church, and we need you to be dangerous for the kingdom of God and step up and step into any calling that God puts on your heart. Amen? So receive that today. Believe what God has put inside of you. And men, do whatever it takes to help the women in your life flourish. Amen. Don't put them to the side. Don't push them down so that you can step up even higher. Real men help women in their life reach their full potential and flourish. Amen? Told you, I only had a day to prepare this, so you're just getting it raw today, okay? You're just getting it real. Stop. Rest. Jesus is inviting us to rest. And here's what we do. A lot of people on our Sabbath, we rest, but we just end up vegging. And that's why some of us need a Sabbath from our Sabbath. Some of us get back from vacation and we need a vacation from our vacation. Particularly young parents, you know what I'm saying? Amen to that. There is a difference between rest and a trip. There's a difference between rest and a vacation, okay? And all of us know how to veg. There's nothing wrong with vegging. The question is, what's going to fill you up? Because I could take a Sabbath and I could just scroll on my Instagram reels all day. I could just veg on Netflix. I could just eat Cheetos and drink pop all day, and I just veg and numb it all out. And all of that is a Band-Aid for the wound that says I'm exhausted and anxious and overwhelmed. And it's not actually going to fill you up. Does anybody remember the gum flavor, Juicy Fruit? It's amazing for the first 7 seconds. And then it's terrible. I gotta spit this out, because it promises one thing, but it doesn't actually deliver. And so I want to ask you this morning, what are your juicy fruits that you continue to run to? Because you wonder, well, wait a minute, I'm so tired and exhausted at the end of what was supposed to be my Sabbath day. Well, what are you actually doing to fill up your soul? Because it promises one thing, but it doesn't actually deliver. I'll just have a drink or two. Or six. And I wonder why I'm still so numb. Because all it was supposed to do was numb. Jesus is not interested in numbing. Jesus is interested in healing. And sometimes you need an extended time of rest with him to get after the things that are deep down inside that you just continue to numb and put a Band-Aid on. Rest. Don't keep running to the same old things to get filled up. Number three, delight. Delight means on my Sabbath day, I'm going to deliberately choose things that I don't produce anything, like playing. And somewhere along the line, we forgot that Jesus lifts up as the model of faith kids. And of the many reasons that Jesus lifts up kids, kids know how to play, because play produces nothing. And that's the point. God wants to remind you to play at least one day a week and do something that produces nothing, because you are a human being, not a human doing. Amen? And kids can teach us that. Go find some kids and play with them. Go volunteer for Hope Elam Kids. It is awesome, and it'll actually probably be the most productive thing that you do. Delight, and last, most importantly, worship. You were created to worship. Whether you worship on the same day that's your Sabbath or whatever that is, that's not the point. We're not going to get legalistic about it. And whether you're churchy or not or whatever it is, you got to know nothing replenishes the soul like prayer, like time in God's word, and deep connection with others. You were created for it. Some of you are reading that list of Sabbath and you're going, this is great. I have what's called kids. And I know that we just saying that God can do anything and he can do miracles and do the impossible, but how about a Sabbath with kids? You want to know what? Invite them into it. It may seem difficult at first, and they might wonder, what? What are we doing? Nothing. Why are we doing nothing? Because that's the point. How are they going to learn to be with God if they never see it? How are they going to learn what a healthy adult looks like if all you do is go, go, go? Invite them into it. Have them see parents that aren't chasing and adults that aren't chasing around everywhere. And I get it. Like, our kids are getting into that stage of all-stars and traveling teams and music programs and this and that and special activities. And the pull and the temptation is so great. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things. And we are busy. We are full. I am coaching up some football this afternoon, okay? But here's the thing. It feels rebellious, but I care way more about the souls of my kids than the opinions of their friends or the pressure to be the best or attend everything. Amen? What is the one thing that really matters? And it doesn't have to be an either or. Bring your kids into it. Invite them into it. And finally, the last rhythm. We want to divert daily. We want to withdraw weekly. And we want to abandon annually. And maybe you've never thought about this one, but I'm glad we're having this conversation right now as we kind of get into summer. As you look at your summer plans, is there maybe an opportunity to take 2 weeks instead of a week? Is there an opportunity to take a day instead of 2 days for some extended renewal? To hit the reset button for you and your spouse, or for yourself, or for you and your kids, to set some long-range goals, to have some extended renewal? Because here's the thing, we are like those batteries that go back in the rechargeable battery pack. You can't put them in there for 5 minutes and then be good to go. You gotta abide. You gotta get recharged. Some of you are like, no, but I'm wired up. I'm a doer. I'm resilient. Here's the thing. If you're empty, you can't be resilient. You have nothing to give. Resilience is built from being replenished. And an extended time, and I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll go on a vacation and it'll take me 3 or 4 days. I'm like a tightly wound spool of thread. And it'll take me 3 or 4 days to unwind and shut down my heart and my mind so that I can actually be present with God and rest. We were not designed to go all the time. Abandon, and it doesn't mean abandon all your responsibilities. It means get far enough away that you can unplug, either by yourself or with those around you. Divert daily, withdraw weekly, abandon annually. And I want to end today where we started. Back to this weird word that Jesus tells us in our scripture reading, my yoke. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. What you may not realize is that in Jesus' day, what Jesus is referring to in this cultural reference is the yoke of an ox. And what oxen would do in this agricultural society is that they would yoke up two ox together to carry this heavy load over a long distance in the fields. And what they would do is they would yoke up an older, more experienced ox with a younger, less experienced ox. And the reason was, when you're carrying a heavy load over a long distance, you got to be able to move at a sustainable pace. And when the younger, less experienced ox would try to charge ahead and go faster and move faster because it thinks that it knows the better way to do it, it would get this chafing and scraping. It even bleed on the back of its neck, and over time it would learn to go at the pace of the wiser, older ox. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Jesus is the wiser, more experienced ox that is pleading with you today to stop comparing yourself to everybody else and learn the unforced rhythms of grace that I have for you. Amen? This is the yoke that Jesus has for you. And what you may not know is that in those yokes, they were often custom fit, that it was different from one ox to another. Jesus is not placing this heavy burden on us. Jesus says, I have a custom fit yoke for you that perfectly fits who you are, and it is not an ill-fitting burden or yoke that I'm going to lay on you today. But I had a mentor once tell me, it's not that kind of a yoke, it's this kind of a yoke, where Jesus is coming up and putting his arm around you saying, let's do life together. Amen. That's how you learn to have a sustainable pace and rhythm. And so as we head into summer and on this Mother's Day, what better time than now to hit the reset button and plan some rebellious rest? And instead of just talking about it, we're going to do it. So I hope you brought your pillows and we're going to bring the lights down. No, I'm just kidding. Some of you, say amen to that. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to be still. I know what time it is. I don't care. God wants to be with you. And it's a beautiful day outside, and I can't bring you, all of you out there, but we can bring nature inside because God is a part of every single part of creation. And what we're going to do for 2 minutes is nothing. And we're going to be in the presence of God. And I just want to ask you to do two things. Number one, to breathe. To take long, slow, deep breaths and to breathe in the pneuma, the spirit, the literal air in our lungs, the spirit of God, and to breathe out anything that's not of us. To relax, to clear your mind, to breathe in and out, and to ask God this simple question. God, what do you want to say to me today? That you love me, that I am enough, that I am God's favorite, that you have what it takes, that he loves you, that he forgives you, that he delights and rejoices over you with singing. What do you need to let go of today in his presence? Let's be still. Let's be still and know that he is God. And if this is hard or awkward or you think it doesn't matter, I want to remind you again that maybe our anxiousness and our restlessness and our overwhelm is our inability to be and abide with Jesus. That right there might have been the most important 2 minutes that you spend all day. Letting the God that created you speak to you. And the beauty of that is that you don't have to walk into a church building to experience God. You can abide with him anytime, anywhere. And if that wasn't long enough, go be with Jesus this afternoon. If it was too long, I just maybe encourage you to ask God the question, why is it so hard for me to be still? God, can you clear away all the clutter and distractions in my life so that I can hear, most importantly, not from a pastor, God, but from you? I want to hear from you. I want to learn how to be still like Jesus was in your presence, and for you to lead and guide and be the yoke that leads and guides my life. I want to find rest for my soul this Mother's Day. That's the gift, moms, that we would love to give you. Not to point you to a church or a preacher, but to point you to the one that can give you rest for your soul. And I don't know what this day is like for you, what your past has been, what your relationship is or was with your mom, but I know two things. Whatever happened to you, the difficulties, the pain of your past, is that God did not cause it, and secondly, that he is going to use it for his good. He is going to use it for glory, that God is not done with you yet. And this morning, he is the peace in the middle of your storm. Amen? Worship team's going to come and lead us in worship. Wherever you're at, online or in the room, let's stand. Let's be in God's presence together. Let's worship.
Thanks so much for joining us. To find out more about Hope Elim, follow us on Instagram at hope.elim or visit our website at hope-elim.org.